thank you tonight for the compliments that you've made, encouragement that you remarked to our son-in-law, Greg. We've heard him several times in regard to his preaching and teaching and seeing that he's improving and better making applications. I thought that his close application today, I told him later, was really remarkably well done and would be something that we would think about for a long, long time in regard to Jesus being real in our daily walk and decision-making in life. But nevertheless, here's the thought and the idea about the foolishness that we face in life from day to day. I'll close this, Lord, with the next Sunday morning. On the positive side of the idea, the word prudent in the Old Testament of the Bible has several different words that are translated prudent. It is noted in Proverbs 27 and verse 12, the prudent man foreseeth danger and guardeth himself. The simple probably described in that way, the simple being younger, those who are inexperienced in life, pass on and are hurt thereby. That same statement was made earlier in Proverbs 22 and verse 3. In other words, twice we have the same words used in Proverbs 22 and verse 3 and in 27 and verse 12, honoring the man who is prudent. The word prudent carries with it the idea of wisdom, carries with it the idea of experience from which he's learned. It's not that he's never made a mistake. It's not that he's never fell. It's not that he's never fallen away. It's not that he's always done it right, but that he learned from his roadmap in life. He benefited from the changes that took place, the surprises that happened, and he became wise to something that is dangerous up ahead. As a result of seeing the danger up ahead, he would begin to guard or hide himself in the way that he could protect himself from the dangers that would befall him. Whether it was a boulder coming loose and coming down the mountainside to crush him, or whether it were a group of bandits coming out of a particular cavern somewhere along the trip in the mountains, or whether it would be a rut in the way that might cause him to slip, or his animal to slip and stumble and fall down the hillside. Whatever it would be in life that would far find him being an endangered individual, he guarded himself. If he were manning a boat of some sort with oars, he would be sure that his oars were safe and secure and strong enough to go against the waves and the wind that might come upon him. He would keep an eye upon the sky and see the impending dangerous clouds that would be there just this afternoon. We heard the thunder and we saw the dark, dark clouds over this immediate place right here. And for about 20 minutes of time, we could not see out the window and see into the church building because the water came down so hard during that period of time. Well, the wise man would be looking up to the sky in a boat, in the water. He would see the danger that might be there. He'd find himself headed toward the nearest of shore. He would find himself guarding himself from the danger that would befall him in life. Now, that's a practical way in his daily walk down a mountainside or in a boat or any of the other dozen applications that you could make of a prudent man who foresees danger ahead. But making the spiritual application of that certainly is worthy. When one sees a doctrine taught, a practice that is being given, that honors the way of man and honors the traditions of man. You'll note that Jesus spoke against that in Matthew 15 and verse 9 when he said, "In vain do you worship me when you teach the doctrine, the commandments of men." And notice that he said this in regard to Paul's work in Romans 16 and verse 17. "Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you've learned, and avoid them. They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but they serve their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches they deceive the hearts of the simple." So it is that danger might be seen by the teaching of others. Danger might be seen in the listing of something that is not authorized of God, like Jesus noted that in the traditions of man in Matthew 15. And so it is seeing danger ahead that would be some kind of resistance to it. Prayers would be offered. Teaching would be done. Opposition to that teaching would be spoken in a very kind fashion. You notice that it is said in 2 Timothy 2:24-25, the servant of the Lord must not be divisive or strifeful, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. Notice that those who oppose themselves, they're in danger because they do not believe this teaching. They do not practice this teaching. But the servant of the Lord is to instruct them, help them. And in so doing, it's not to be with vicious words and mannerisms, but rather with gentle words. As he says there, the servant of the Lord must not be divisive, but gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient. He needs to know which verse to look at. He needs to know what conclusion to draw from that context and help someone away who is opposing himself by what he believes and what he practices. So it is that in the page of the Bible, a prudent man, a wise man, one who's had some experiences in life and troubles that he may have faced and learned from them, is a man who is blessed and benefited by blessing. It is observed back in Psalms chapter 37, beginning verse 23, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. He goes on to tell us in that regard, though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Then David goes on to say, I have been old, and now I have been young, but now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He goes on to tell us about this righteous man, that his children rise up and are blessed. Who is this man? Though he stumbles, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. This is the righteous man of Psalm 37:23. The word good, you'll notice in your English Bible, is in italics. And a word italicized in the pages of the Scripture is a word that is supplied by the translators so that we would have a clarity of sentence structure along the way in their judgment. And in connection with this, it is said, the steps of a good man. Literally, steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. In other words, the Lord delights in the way that that man's walking as he walks in the path the Lord has set forth. He goes on to talk about this good man, this righteous man. That's why the translators chose to use the word good there in an adjective in reference to this man, because he manifests the spirit. The steps of a man, good man, are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The idea of the Lord being with us and upholding us is a wonderful, wonderful thing in our lives. We're not being foolish when we have the hand of the Lord upon us.